views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Welcome to Voices of Women. I'm so glad to be on the show today, and it's just a beautiful, sunny, hot day in Seattle. Interesting reversal of things. It's cooler on the East Coast than in Seattle, from what I hear. So anyway, we're enjoying quite a summer here. And although it's a little hotter than people like, because we're just not used to it, but I love it. Okay, so anyway, today I'm going to be interviewing Ingrid Martin. She's the author of The Ungame, Foreplay to Business as Unusual. And foreplay is F-O-U-R, play. Ingrid Martin immigrated to the U.S. from Germany at the age of 11. She had an interest for how people lost their enthusiasm for learning, so she became an educator. She has a master's degree in French literature and speaks three languages fluently. And then moving into the world of business, she was first a consultant and then an internationally certified executive and team coach with clients in North America, Europe, and Australia. And she is interested in unconventional models of learning. While working as a teacher with inner city at-risk youth, who seemed to hate to learn, she started experimenting with and developing innovative educational models. And she's trained in organizational development and has talked with many business leaders and managers over the last 25 years. And great workplaces intrigued her, especially because leaders and managers know what it takes to create them. And yet, unfortunately, great workplaces are still rare. And that's why she wrote The Ungame, Foreplay to Business as Unusual, to show you one low-cost, high-benefit way it's being done. So we're going to learn how to do this today. So welcome, Ingrid.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be with you.
Yes. Well, first, let's talk about why you wrote this book and why it's in the style of a novel. So it's not just a nonfiction book of how to. It's interesting because it's a novel, so you see one person going through this process in the book as a novel.
Yes. Well, the reason I wrote it changes depending on when you ask me, but they're all true. And today I'm going to say I wrote it because I see people suffering and I see people not being as powerful as they can be. And by powerful, I mean having the power to and having the power with rather than the power over. And we as women certainly are very familiar with being on the receiving end of power over. And we also know intuitively to have power with. So at the same time, there's a lot that's not known about that. And I am really interested in people being empowered in the same way that I'm interested in being empowered myself. So that's one of the reasons I wrote it, and I also thought that there was more to unlearn than to learn in terms of human behavior and how we are with one another, and so that's part of the reason that the title is The Ungame, because there's so much to unlearn. And I love the fact that you asked me why I wrote it in novel form, because there's a very important reason, and that is that stories stick. They are like Velcro. And I wanted things to stick in people's minds so that in the book, you are not told, you know, how in our educational system we're oftentimes told, and that makes us not so very much engaged. And so this is about experiencing and through story, which we can all relate to, because, you know, before the written language, we had stories that taught us the human wisdom that we needed to have in order to make it well through our lives.
Yeah, stories are so important. It's one of the things that I'm all about, too, in the work we do at Woman of Wisdom. Especially for women, stories. And so you're going through the book with seeing one man learning these processes, but basically what he's also doing what you say we need to do is to unlearn. So he has to unlearn lots of things in order to learn the processes that work. So talk to us about this unlearning.
Okay. Unlearning is in a particular domain, and we sometimes don't separate these domains in our schools and in our lives. So, for example, in the technical domain, I would not make the assertion that we have a lot to unlearn. In a technical domain, if I'm learning computer programming, then there is a lot to learn, Chris. However, in terms of human behavior, we have learned a lot of ways of being that really don't serve us. And all we have to do is look to advertising on television, where there's a lot of push, 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 persuasion, manipulation. And, you know, it's, and we've learned it in other places that there are ways of being that are self-limiting. And limiting in terms of where we can go with relationships. And I think we're moving beyond that, and there's a great desire, plus, as I said, suffering. So in terms of unlearning, you know, we have to unlearn to try and manipulate people. We think that, you know, we can manipulate people into doing well at work or even in personal relationships, and you know, that's an indirect use of power that's actually not very good. So there's a lot of unlearning, even though the protagonist in the story is a young manager who's pretty inexperienced. Nevertheless, you know, we are in relationship all the time, and we learned in our families to manipulate or to be direct, or so, you know, he has a lot of things to unlearn, thinking that he has to walk around eggshells around his employees, for example, you know, that he can't be direct, which is not uncommon for women to have to unlearn. So that's an example.
Yes. So and what you're talking about is our conventional management system practices aren't, you're kind of inferring this, aren't really working anymore. And so can you give us an example of how this is still in use, even though, you know, it's obsolete, we're moving on, and yet it's kind of, you know, it's slow to change.
Yes. And so especially when we don't recognize it, when we don't identify it. The moment we identify it, we have so much more power to change it. And so in the on game, I identify that the command and control model of management that, you know, we've inherited from the military is dead. In a lot of places, it's just not buried yet because we haven't identified what the alternative is, or we've only intellectually identified what the alternative is, but behaviorally we're still muckety-mucking about in the old model, or we're halfway in a new model, halfway in an old model. But the antidote to the command and control model of management, where you fix and control, you know, you focus on the negative and and you command and you probably tell people what to do and micromanage, that would all be in part of that, versus this new way of managing, which is about being a catalyst. You know, and as a manager, you want to be a catalyst, seeing what how you can support an employee to bring out their strengths on behalf of the extraordinary results that you envision producing in your department or in your business. So that's a very different orientation to being a catalyst. It focuses a lot on seeing what is the best in an employee and how you can capitalize on that. And it focuses a lot on relationship because as a catalyst, you know, you inspire, you motivate, and let's face it, people won't let you influence them if they don't connect to you. And they will if you do connect to them and things make sense to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you give us an example of success with a company that's been changing to these new practices?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there are some big companies. Interface Floor is a multinational company that definitely has a what I would consider a coaching culture. It has a coaching culture is close to a catalyst culture, and they also don't look at the traditional bottom line of companies. Namely, profits are not the only motivators for the company. They actually are interested in a triple bottom line, what we call the triple bottom line, namely that they look to see that their decisions are made such that they don't harm the planet, they don't harm profits, and they don't harm people. In other words, they support the planet.
Yeah.
People and they support the traditional bottom line. So
so we're going to have to take. We're going to have to come back to that.
And then Patagonia,
this is Christine,
and
the Voices of Women, and we'll come back and talk more with Ingrid Martin.
I am the eye in the sky, looking at you.
Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Okay, I'm supposed to go. I have new music today. We have a new tech person with me, so we're, have some music there. Okay, so I'm with, this is Chris Stainis with Voices of Women. I'm talking to Ingrid Martine, and we were just talking about the triple line, and I know this is sort of the new way of doing business and profitable for, the companies are starting to prove this is profitable, you know, people first, then planet, then profit. And companies are showing that as, you know, there's that fear that that's not going to work, you know, that you got to be profit. It's all about the product and profit. And yet there's proof that this is working. Are you there, Ingrid?
I'm here, yes. Oh, okay. I agree with you.
So let's talk about that. And that also relates to, you know, the green economy and how we can be environmentally responsible at the same time.
Yes, and I think that's a difficult thing for not just for companies, it is for everyone, because let's face it, even with the green economy, we are purchasing, and that is a strain on the environment anyway. Although in the green economy, what we're looking at, especially given the income gap that everyone is concerned about now, the country and in the world, is that the green economy for low-income people means green jobs. And that is, you know, that's the way they can enter the green economy. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, because they can learn to weatherize, they can learn to be electrical engineers through solar panels and so forth. So all kinds of possibilities. And bringing it back to the ungame, you know, that's really what we're looking at, is for people to see possibilities that they haven't seen before, because they've looked with old eyes. And what's incumbent upon us now is to look with new eyes, being very alert and attentive to everything, because the world really is changing dramatically and rapidly right in front of our eyes. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. And we're all dealing with this transition. And, you know, it's a handful for people. It's, you know, I know many people are having struggles and feeling kind of unbalanced and all that. And so let's talk about, because you have a process in your book you call COSA, C-O-S-A. So it's a four-step process that helps managers become great managers. So let's talk about those four steps and why they can produce great managers.
Okay. And by managers, you know, I also want to assert that we are all executives of our own lives. So we're all managers. We're not just talking about corporations. And so that this process is really a very personal process. And even when I coach executives, it always comes down to the personal. We can't leave that behind, nor should we. So, but it's interesting that you said, you know, we're in a period of flux and there's struggles and there, you know, many people are unbalanced. And the process that I describe in the book that the protagonist goes through in the book is one that allows people to emerge over time with clarity, focus, ease, and grace. By ease, I mean the opposite of struggle. So the acronym stands for something, and the first step that we go through is to choose. And choosing is a creator role. And with business as usual, we don't create. We keep, letting things happen to us. We're more the feather in the wind rather than the wind. And so the choosing in this process has everything to do with being the designer or architect of our own life. And it's a particular kind of choosing. And it has to do with choosing how we want to show up in the world, choosing who we are willing to be. And that comes from a very different place than from our normal everyday, getting up and walking through life, sometimes sleepwalking through life. The choosing has to do about qualities of being that are contribution. And it comes from our best self, and not from our average self or our, everyday self. And there are qualities such as, I'm willing to be courageous. I'm willing to be truthful. I'm willing to be kind. I'm willing to be gentle, generous, compassionate, empowering, supportive. And all of those qualities, as you were listening to those, you probably noticed that you feel an energy rising that's different from, I'm willing to be greedy or critical. It's a different kind of energy. And so we are able to choose how we want to show up. Now, that doesn't mean that it's easy, but there is a process that allows us to make that choosing more available, makes it easier. And I go into that, but it is about choosing to be loving, generous, and appreciative, and all these other kinds of qualities that that are available to us, that come from our best self.
Mm-hmm. So for managers and employees, the same, if you are kind, kindness in the world is going to reflect back to you. So, it works both ways. And it's choosing that is like having that choice that you can respond to things differently.
Absolutely.
Instead of being angry when somebody, does something to you, that you choose to be curious of, okay, why is this happening?
Beautiful. And I like what you said about it reflects back to you. Kindness does. We are a mirror. We are a mirror. And so, yes, it absolutely makes a difference. And just all you have to do is ask yourself this. If you show up at a meeting, and I have clients who choose these qualities when they go into a meeting that they're a little worried about, and they might choose, I'm willing to be empowering. I'm willing to be courageous. And then you can ask yourself, in that situation, in that meeting, if something scares you, you can ask yourself, okay, if I'm willing to be courageous, how would I respond to this right here, right now? And you will get a different response, as you said, than if you just sat there and said, oh, my God, I'm scared, and you focus on being scared. And, oh, my God, I can't lose my job. if I say something, you know, that might hurt me. You see, yeah. You will make a different choice.
Right. So and so then what does the O stand for? You want to get
I'm
all
sorry?
The skin in.
I didn't hear that just now.
In the COSA, the O.
The O stands for observing. So in this coaching process is that everybody, the coach and the client, chooses who they are willing to be in that session in order to produce an extraordinary result. So that conscious choice. And then the person brings something that they'd like to be coached on. And what the coach does in the story and in real life is to surface what the person is thinking and has the person observe that thinking. So it's a special kind of observation, too. It's a self-observation in order to grow your self-awareness. But it's a self-observation in the present, right here, right now. So if you come in and into the coaching session and you say, you know, John is a jerk, John being your employee, the coach might go down that path of thinking and have the person elucidate what makes John a jerk in their mind. And as the person learns about their thinking, they see that no wonder John shows up as a jerk. You know, you expect him to be a jerk, then maybe John is going to do some things that reflect jerkness, if you will. So yeah. There's a special kind of observation, and then there's this, okay, so could you envision thinking about this in any other way? You know, but that happens out of observation, and you know, you don't get into the vision of some alternative until you have observed very clearly.
Yeah, and that I think that in that area it works with questioning your assumptions, and that happens a lot, to assume that people are a certain way, and then it's projected, and to shift it to be observing. Well, what's really the facts here? So you know, it's a great tool to be conscious of when you're especially starting out in management, or you want to change or shift your management style. Well, this is Chris Stanis with Voices of Women. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back shortly.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com, or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Dr. Linda Salvin,
Metaphysical Master,
now bringing insight and metaphysical abundance to your living room with her spirit-filled candle line, Wicks of Wisdom. Dr. Linda's unique formulations of pure and powerful herbs, oils, and essences can assist you in love, luck, finances, health, and more.
Wait till you experience the power of Wicks of Wisdom.
Find out how these amazing candles can help you. See them now and order yours at lindasalvin.com.
Or call 888-509-1077.
Wondering how to make more confident strategy for retirement? Do you know that there are potentially more than 12 things to consider when planning for or approaching retirement? Then stop wondering and attend the retirement seminar hosted by Jeff Pacman, financial advisor with Pacman Brown and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated in Bellevue, Washington. Call 425-372-4813 for a formal invitation to the next seminar on November 5th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Light hors d'oeuvres and beverages will be provided. This is an informational event. There is no cost or obligation. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
So welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Christina. So I'm speaking with Ingrid Martine, and she's the author of The Ungame, Foreplay to Business as Unusual. So we were just talking about her COSA four-step process, and we just did the C is choose, O is observe, and so there's an S and an A. So Ingrid, go ahead and share with what those stand for.
The S stands for saying yes, and it's a kind of surrender, if you will, which is a bad word for some people, but surrender is not submit. Submit, I see as negative. Surrender is a kind of saying yes to a learning, saying yes to what you've become aware of, even if it's uncomfortable. So if, for example, in your self-observation, you've become aware that you really have been contributing to this problem that you thought was all the employees' fault, okay? You've become aware of that. Not comfortable exactly, because we'd rather put it on others than on ourselves. That's just natural for human beings to do that. But you're courageous and willing, and you you see that you have contributed to the problem. And so you say yes to the learning. The learning might be that instead of confronting your employee, you might do better to be curious and inquiring and not so quickly jumping to conclusions. So that's saying yes to that lesson, and it's a special kind of yes, because our monkey mind, or that I describe in this book, a term borrowed from our Buddhist friends for that self-limiting chatter and that chatter that we have, that self-protective and wants to be right. You know, we say yes to a learning despite having that that monkey mind, and it's a very courageous act. So the S in COSA is probably the ultimate challenge, and I talk about that in the book, because it's not easy for us to surrender and say yes to our lessons in this adaptive domain, you know, in terms of where we might change behavior. Does that make sense?
Yes, and being willing to change, and yeah, and look at our faults and our, I know we all have them, and to admit, you know, that's that being vulnerable to allow yourself to be visible about that. In fact, it's good to be visible, I think, because then others learn from you and seeing that, oh, here's a person who's willing to own up what's maybe going wrong and willing to change, and showing their vulnerability is sometimes seen as a weak thing, but it's really not.
Well, especially in this coaching model in the Ungame, and I love that word vulnerable. because in when we think of it, as you said, we think of it as being weak, but that's in the psychological domain, and this is not in our best self. In our best self, being vulnerable is actually a quality of contribution, and as you and you didn't say it directly, I don't think, but you know, when we make ourselves vulnerable, people love that because people see, oh my goodness, they are just like me. And vulnerable has a different meaning and an empowering meaning, and I love it. It's letting the winds of life blow freely over your soul. Isn't that wonderful definition of for being vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so the last word is from the letter A.
Yes. That's about ACT. So at first, the first step is C. We choose who we're willing to be, all of which comes from our best self. The O is all about being willing to observe what's really so, you know, not just who we pretend to be, but even who we are afraid we are, and we're willing to observe that. The S is saying yes to our lessons based on what we've become aware of. And finally, the A is ACT. But it's also a little bit different than what we usually think of as action. You know, we can have action that's separated from what's important to us. We can have action that's separated from what we've learned. You know, we can have automatic action, or we can have action that is directly related to the lesson that we've just said yes to in this process. And so we talk about taking authentic action being the action that makes sense based on what we've become aware of. A personal example would be, you know, if you have a toothache, the authentic action that follows your noticing your toothache is to call the dentist. You know, that's an authentic action. It makes sense in line of what you've become aware of. And in that manager example, you know, if the manager has noticed that he or she is quickly critical, then an authentic action might be something very simple, like the next time I talk to John, I'm going to ask him three questions where I notice that I want to jump to a conclusion. You know, very specific, achievable, measurable, and it's in line with what the manager has said yes to. You know, the lesson that he's learning or she's learning. So that is what I would say about ACT. And, of course, yeah. In the book, the protagonist in each coaching session gets to uncover that. And it's a wonderful and engaging process, which I can't do justice to by simply telling you about it. But that's what we got right now, right?
Yes, and yeah, in the book there's a lot of in-depth of the process he goes through to understand this. So this four-step process, it's you're able to change this corporate culture to foster innovation, teamwork, that's very important, and communication. So I know you have some components about what it means to have a transformative conversation, and if you want to share about that.
Oh, I just love transformative conversations. Transformative conversations, you know, I mean, these are different than the ones that you have when you're going with a friend to a movie. And you know, there it probably isn't important or even desirable. But transformative conversations, the quality of those are that they are open, they're honest, they're non-manipulative, they are unguarded. So you've got game playing that is not there. Transformative conversations are confrontational in the sense that they confront our worldview. So one component is they interrogate our current reality. That is to say, they challenge our current reality by asking questions about it. And it could be said that and it might assault our worldview, you know, but transformative conversations, they occur in an atmosphere of safety. And one of the things that I'm very concerned about, and the book reflects that, is that that we operate, whether it's at work or at home or among friends, that we operate in an atmosphere of safety, but also challenge. And because when an atmosphere is safe and challenging, then we can really learn. And in such an atmosphere, back to transformative conversations, it eventually sinks in that we don't have a corner on the truth, despite the fact that we might have been absolutely certain about that. That's one way of describing transformative conversations, but we can also describe them as passionate, unbridled, authentic, clear. They don't assume things are as they seem to be. Willing participants in those kinds of conversations check out assumptions and they even assume that their assumptions, whether they're concealed or not, are indeed assumptions and not necessarily the truth. And that can be tough, because most of the time when we feel strongly about something, we don't think it's an assumption, we think it's the truth. And probably the reason, Chris, that I love transformative conversations is we can't have them without learning something that we need to know. Because those kinds of conversations tackle tough challenges, they provoke learning. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to transform. And I make the assertion that transformative conversations change the world, and we can change the world one conversation at a time. As a matter of fact, that's what we do have control over, and not much else.
And when you were talking about that, what comes to mind is having that curiosity instead of assumption, which tend to sometimes come across as an attack, attacking someone's, viewpoint, is being curious, ask them the question, what did you mean by that, rather than assuming you know what they meant? And that's very important.
I agree with you. And
I'm hearing some music, and so I can hear that it's time for a break. I do want to give your website. It is there's two, but one is the IngridMartine.com, IngridMartine.com, and also the UngameBook.com. And there's some things there that people can download for free from the Ungame website. So we'll be back in a moment.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. So I'm talking with Ingrid Martin. She's the author of The Ungame, F-O-U-R, Play to Business as Unusual. So we've been talking about this system, this process, this four-part process of COSA. And a lot of aspects of life, you say, is kind of relearning or unlearning our bad habits of that we, and some of it's just being, you know, how we're brought up as kids and having to retrain ourselves to not, and I think of the word like react, instead of reacting to things, you know, we were talking about not making assumptions and being curious, is also to watch our reactions. I think we tend to get triggered and react to things, and it's not necessarily the person in front of us. I would think particularly as a manager, that's something to be really careful about.
Well, I like your distinction here, or the distinction that you're starting to make about not reacting. Reacting comes from a place of fear, comes from a knee-jerk reaction. And what we want to look toward is to be able to respond, which comes from a very different place. And I like to think of responsible not as synonymous with accountable, but rather responsible being the ability to respond, able to respond. And that goes right back into COSA and choosing. You know, so if I think that you've insulted me, right, I could react and insult you back or whatever, or I could respond and I could say, Chris is having a bad day today, or she didn't understand what I just said. And so if I'm being responsible, I might say, Chris, what did you just hear me say? Because your reaction seemed out of line with my intention. So could you just summarize for me what you think I said? Now, that's a powerful response. So
yes, and it's coming from that curiosity place too, asking the question.
Indeed, yes.
Yes. Well, you've been involved in, you know, corporations and seen a lot of this and seen, you know, this new genre of corporations that are modeling this people, planet, profit. And there's a lot of development, human resources, a lot of development in corporations and trainings and things. So what are you seeing there in the corporate training programs and how they could be made more effective?
I think they are becoming more effective, although on a large scale, people do not yet operationalize this distinction between technical training and adaptive training. So, for example, you know, people have heard of and they are desirous of time management training. Well, if you treat time management training as a technical challenge, I think most of the time you're going to fail because for most people it's not a technical challenge. If it were, then we could just give people a handout and say, this is how you manage your time, step one, step two, step three. And but for most people it isn't like that. Even after taking time management courses, they go back to being exhausted and driven and joyless in their life because they're taking on too much. So corporations are beginning to see that adaptive challenges are different. For one thing, what they could do that they don't do now, right now when a manager thinks that an employee is underperforming, she may send that employee to training, when in fact, what you might be looking at is a coaching for that manager. You see, the manager obviously thinks it's the employee, but I can assure you that that employee would show up differently if that manager saw more of what he or she is doing that doesn't support a good process for the employee. So training the right people and then not training them a la Pat Pryor, where, you know, they give you a lot of information and then they think you know how to handle conflict or you know how to manage. Well, you don't. So it needs to be more experiential. It needs to be more recurring. It needs to be followed up. It needs to be deeper. There needs to be engaging of the whole person. And, you know, most organizations don't do that. The best thing that organizations could do is to develop a training or rather a coaching culture, because in that coaching culture, people will do a lot of things like the feedback will become a norm, and people will be able to give a good feedback. By good feedback, I don't mean, a nice, be nice. I'm talking about actionable feedback and one that is respectful as well as challenging. So there are so many ways that a corporate coaching culture would support people in learning, and in the 21st century, we have got to learn and learn and learn ongoingly, and people love to learn if they feel safe and if they feel challenged. So that's what I would wish for some corporate training programs, to operationalize the difference between technical training and adaptive training and really, really get good at that.
Well, I hope everybody has a fabulous weekend. Thanks for being with us on the show today, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.